Some things are very strange, and God is working when he is working. Because Rob has read or asked us to say exactly what I'm going to speak about, the Lord's Prayer. So unfortunately or fortunately, we're going to have it again. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we're just going to read a few verses there. From verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask of him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive the men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let's just bow in prayer, shall we? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord and our Redeemer. So we come to your word, Lord, and we pray that you'll open it up in a different way, in a special way, and speak with power and strength through the words you've given me. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope Nigel and Sharon are all right. It must have been a bit frightening. I don't know how they got out of the car in a flood like that. It was... they must be safe and sound, so praise the Lord for that. I want to take us the text... and Dan's already referred to it, really. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Our Father in heaven. And, of course, in this passage, we find that Jesus speaks of the importance of prayer. Importance of prayer. And shows us how to pray, not like the hypocrites. Don't go pray only to go in private, not to babble. God our Father knows what we need even before we ask of him. And then Jesus says, this is how you should pray. It's interesting, isn't it, that people pray when they're poorly, when they wouldn't pray normally. I spoke to our next door neighbour yesterday. And he had a big bale fall on him. And if you know what a big bale is, it's about half a ton and it stands about like this. And he had that and he was 82 at the time. And he's recovered and he's walking again. But he was pretty well bashed up with his half ton bale dropping on him. And I said to him, he'd not been a churchgoer at all as far as I know. Every time we come to church, we meet him on the lorry, going somewhere else to delivering straw or something. But I said to him, did you thank the Lord for, he says, I prayed when I was in hospital, I really prayed. And that was interesting, wasn't it? How we turn to God in our desperate need. And he hears us. Our Father in heaven. Notice he didn't say, your Father. Jesus could have said, my Father. But he said, "Our Father." He included us all that from that very beginning. This is how you pray. It's "Our Father," and it includes us all. Where is our Father? Well, he's in heaven. We read about a lot about heaven in different places in the Bible. And in one place in Revelation, John speaks of a voice saying, "Come up here." And it says he was in the Spirit. There before him was a throne in heaven. He spoke of one on the throne who had appearance of jasper and carnelian. God in heaven. The picture, if you want to get the full picture, read Revelation chapter 4, and it'll tell you more about that. God in heaven. We used to sing a chorus when I was in Sunday school. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. God is still on the throne. He's in heaven, and he's there on his throne. To see God... I'm reading this from UCB notes, actually. To see God as your loving Father may not come easily if you carry the scars of abusive childhood. So many needs that went unmet in your childhood: affection, security, trust, comfort, nurture, and material requirements. Sometimes people do not know what a decent father's like. And they have been really abused. And when Jesus says about the Father, we read in Psalm, he is like a father to us, tender and sympathetic. That's not like what they know as a father. They can be really abusive. And Jesus wants to put that to one side. He is Father and he cares. And he cares about you and he cares about me, his Father. So the second thing I wanted to mention is, hallowed be your name. Well, hallow means to recognize as holy, to treat it in a holy way. If we truly hallow the Father, then we respect him in our hearts and worship him. What we've been doing this morning in the Father, we've been worshiping the Father and Jesus and the Son. Praise him, thank him. Thank him for his power. Thank him because his name is hallowed. Hallowed be your name. His name is power. His name is wisdom, holiness, justice, mercy and truth. God's children want to glorify his name. Jesus prayed in John 12:28, "Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name." That was something that we as Christians need to do. Hallow his name. Hallowed be his name. And then we come to the one that says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And I puzzled over this, your kingdom come. What does your kingdom come mean? And it's interesting, isn't it? Because it has a double meaning. Your kingdom come is talking about, as we often think of, as the future. There's going to be a kingdom of God, and he's going to rule. And when Jesus comes again, there's going to be a kingdom. But that kingdom can start here in your life today. The kingdom of God, it starts here in our own hearts. That's the part of the kingdom. We become part of the kingdom. Jesus, when he was preaching, he proclaimed the good news of the gospel, the kingdom of God. We are part of that kingdom. Do you realize we're part of God's kingdom? And that's a wonderful thing. And if you're not part of that kingdom, I know when I was 16, I got challenged very much to make sure that I was a Christian, make sure I came to the Lord. I already believed in him. I never not believed. Bit like Steve, we always brought up to believe, but I had to make sure that God was my saviour, and I put my trust in him at 16 and asked him to forgive me my sins, and being now I can hardly believe it in one sense, but I'm part of his kingdom Are you part of his kingdom? Are you part of this coming kingdom, the coming kingdom of Jesus? Jesus is coming again, and his kingdom will come, and it's a marvelous thing to be part of his kingdom. We read in Luke 12, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." He's been pleased to give us the kingdom. We're part of the kingdom. Amazing, isn't it? And then what comes next in the Lord's Prayer is, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think sometimes we get quite distressed about what's happening in the world, what's happening with our parliament. I think they all need something. I don't know, perhaps better not say what they do need, really. But they need their heads banging together, I think, and getting it sorted out. They don't seem to be able to come to a conclusion. When Jesus comes, he will bring, and he will have a conclusion. There won't be the dithering about. He will do what he wants to do in his kingdom. The New Living Translation says, "May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In heaven, Jesus and the Father rule, and the Holy Spirit, they rule, and their will is carried out. And that will be carried out on earth when he comes again. And he has a loving plan for each one of us that can be realized on earth before we go to heaven. Through prayer, we can discern what is the will of God and obtain the strength and endurance to do it. May we learn obedience. Then it says that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. I always think that this is a demand. A bit demanding, isn't it? You go to God and say, give us our bread today. Well, when I looked into a translation on this, Steve will probably already know, but it didn't. The translation is better when you put please in it. Please is implied. Please give us our daily bread. You can't go to God and say, give us our daily bread. It just seems a very abrupt way of praying. But of course, it loses that in the translation, slightly loses the please, which is implied in the Greek, apparently. I mean, beyond me, but that's by the way. Just one word makes all the difference. Give us today, please give us today our daily bread. And it makes all the difference today, doesn't it, to put please in. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And then we read, just on that one point, we read in Luke, "Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows your need, knows you need them. But seek the kingdom, and these things will be added unto you as well." Then we come to the part where it says, forgive our debts, it says in this NIV, or sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors. This is part of the Christian life, which is lacking in many ways, and very difficult in many ways, to forgive those that have harmed us. That, I was only talking to somebody yesterday, and they said they could not forgive somebody that had spoken so ill of them. They couldn't bring themselves to forgive. In fact, they hated the person. And I'm going to go back and to that one and say, look, you can't do it yourself. You have to have the Lord in your heart to be able to forgive people when they've harmed you so much. Forgive us our debts. We ask God to forgive our debts. But he also expects us to forgive those that have sinned against us. There was one Roman Catholic speaker who was telling at a healing meeting he prayed for a fellow priest. Although he prayed briefly in tongues, Father Haran was overcome by the Holy Spirit and sank to the floor, where he lay for over 2 hours. A bit worrying when the priest goes down on the floor for 2 hours, isn't it? But he was explaining about it later. He said during that time, God had taken him through his entire life, stage by stage, explaining the significance of various painful episodes in his past and healing their wounds. He was reminded of incidents which he had almost forgotten, but which had actually left him with deep scars, as he put it in his own words. During the time I rested in the Spirit, I not only realized that I had not forgiven certain people, a fact I was unaware of before, but I also learned more about the nature and demands of Christian forgiveness while lying on the floor there I had ever understood from talks or books. The Holy Spirit gave me a much deeper insight into this subject, which I regard as one of the major spiritual blessings of my life. You have to forgive, and that takes some doing when somebody's harmed you. You have to forgive, or God forgive you. Will forgive you then. And we have to come to that point, don't we? And then we read, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This end of part of the end of the prayer shows how vulnerable we are to being led astray. I don't suppose you've heard a little boy that I've read about here. I've got a note here. A three-year-old, you can imagine that with our little three-year-old. Is he 3 or 4 year old?
Not even 2 yet.
Pardon?
He's not 2 yet.
Oh, he's not 2 yet. Oh, well, he won't be. Well, he might be getting up to this. One three-year-old explanation for being in the kitchen on top of a chair, eating biscuits: I just climbed up to smell them, and my tooth got caught. I love that. Just climbed up to smell them. But you see, temptation is like that. We just get caught. And we older people get caught. And we have to lead. We ask the Lord not to take us there near temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. Another illustration is, in a supermarket one day, a mother was pushing a shopping cart up with a small child in it. She was not paying attention to where she was going. She turned down an aisle. I don't suppose the ladies do this really, but and suddenly realized it was the candy aisle. This is American, of course. Immediately she turned completely round and went the other direction. She knew the small child would not be able to handle the situation. In the same way, God protects us from things we can't handle. Yes, so easy, isn't it, to be tempted. And we need to walk away from them. Deliver us from the evil one. And God can do that for us each day. Jesus says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil world. How difficult life can be sometimes with the evil all around us, things all around us that are going astray. Jesus said to, this is how we should pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your kingdom come. As our last song, we're going to sing about the kingdom coming. And I just want to read you some of the words. I'm not sure what will come up on the screen this time, but it reads, let your kingdom come here, let your will be done here in us, Jesus. There is no one greater, you alone, our Saviour. Show the ones you love. We are the children of your mercy, rescued for your glory. We cry, Jesus, set our hearts towards you. Every eye would see you lifted high. So we're going to sing that now. I don't know whether you heard the beginning of that on Barbara, but her mother died when she was about a baby of 18 months, and she was adopted by this family. And she would tell you and testify, to be adopted into a family that looked after her was very special. They treated Barbara just like one of their own, which become one of them because she was adopted. And that was nothing compared to what God adopts us into his family and keeps us. And that's the marvellous thing, that we can be adopted into the family of God. And that King of Heaven come. That's a prayer for the future. Let's say the grace together, shall we? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Amen.